Joining me to discuss Iraq's future and its place in the Middle East is Graham Fuller, former vice chairman at the National Intelligence Council at the CIA. He's also an author and scholar of the Muslim world. Graham Fuller, welcome.
Thank you, Jackie.
You've spent 14 years living in five Muslim countries. From the outside right now, it looks like anarchy in Iraq. There was a bombing today at a mosque in Najaf. How do you see Iraq's political future evolving?
Well, I think we're moving into very troubled times. First of all, it should be clear that I think any transition from Saddam Hussein to something new, and especially more open system, was bound to be somewhat chaotic. But at the same time, I think a lot of errors have been committed, some of which could have been foreseen, that has complicated the U.S. task there very much.
And what do you make of this bombing?
Well, it's of course very early to say, but what concerns me is that this would seem to be a clear sign of internecine fighting now among the Shia themselves. It's conceivable that this came from some other non-Shiite source, but I would doubt it. In that case, heat is being turned up among the Shiites themselves as to whether they should move in a more moderate or radical direction. And I think it's important to point out here, the Shiites, as we all know, have been rather quiet so far in this conflict. But if the Sunni Arabs are out there leading the pack, and it were, as it were, in the name of liberation from occupation and are kind of seizing the nationalist torch, how long can the Shiites sit around and not be part of the national struggle to free themselves from liberation? These events, I think, bombings and things, could push the Shiites faster into a confrontation with Washington.
You said that any transition from Saddam Hussein was bound to be chaotic. What do you think the U.S. should be doing differently?
Well, some of this is obviously retrospective, and it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, but I think if there had been greater security on the ground at the beginning and probably a move towards more participatory government from the side of the Iraqis, I think it's imperative that this ruling council, which is appointed, it's a good appointed council in the sense that it's broadly representative, but it needs, I think, to have more and more voice and, if you will, teeth. That will convince Iraqis that it speaks for them and not for Bremer or the U.S. administration. And that's the race against time. This organization has to establish its own legitimacy, and that, in a way, can only ironically come by opposing, to some extent, the U.S. power there.
Well, in fact, there's news today, Graham Fuller, that members of the Iraqi Governing Council are making their first official visits outside the country to enlist the support of other countries in the region. They've gone to Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and tomorrow they'll go to Jordan. But can they win legitimacy in the eyes of the Arab world? That's one thing they're seeking.
Well, that's the great question I think you posed, Jackie, here. It's great if Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and other countries sign on, but in the end, I don't know that that's going to be particularly persuasive to Iraqis one way or the other. They've got to decide, is this council, is it willing to stand up to the U.S. occupation authorities and demand more authority? That, strangely, is one of the strongest, quickest ways that it could gain some legitimacy would be to be seen to be engaged in the struggle against Bremer's occupation administration.
How worried are Iraq's neighbors that the kind of anarchy that has been taking place in Iraq might affect them?
Considerably, I think. First of all, lots of the neighbors don't even want much of a democratization process taking place there, because the Shiites, obviously, as the majority, will soon be the dominant voice in the country as soon as some kind of more representative government kicks in. The Saudis don't want that. The Jordanians don't want that. It makes other countries in the region nervous. And interestingly, even Iran, I would argue, in the long run is going to be a loser in all of this, because I think the Shiites of Iraq are going to probably make a bid for leadership of the Shiite community across the Arab world, something that they used to have a long time ago, but they were eclipsed by Iran since the Iranian Revolution. That may all change, and Iran will find a rival rather than an ally on its borders.
Hmm. In a best-case scenario, Graham Fuller, how do you see Iraqi political life evolving?
Well, in the best case scenario, we would find that the present resistance forces will weaken, that Saddam Hussein, if he indeed is alive, will have been caught, captured, killed, that the ruling council gradually gains increasing prestige among Iraqis as a somewhat representative force, that the United States sets a timetable fairly soon for a pullout, that Iraqis then work towards that goal. A constitution is set, and some early elections are held, which will at least establish the beginnings of a more representative government there. At that point, I think probably the U.S. does need to pull out. I view it as extremely unrealistic, some of the neoconservative hopes that we would be able to have four air bases there and that this would be a center of American operations across the Middle East. I just don't think Iraqi nationalism would ever permit that.
Graham Fuller is the author of The Future of Political Islam. Graham Fuller, thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure, Jackie.